Yes.
All right, we are now recording. Thank you, Katie. So here's our pager, reminding us of our purpose, learning QI, and then today the additional piece will be to share an example case presentation. We'll start out with an icebreaker. There's my reminder to record the meeting. We're going to have Dr. Katie share with us the SurveyMonkey results that we received after the last webinar. We are going to have a knowledge burst, and then most importantly, we're going to have the team presentations. And I understand today we have Hatcliffe and NMRL who will be presenting, and then we'll have some time at the end for question and answer. I understand our colleagues from Butariro will not be presenting today. So just a reminder of our ground rules, and then our expected outcomes is that we will reach our aims and goals that we've set for this project, and we're going to learn from our peers. And hopefully we'll also learn how to make a succinct presentations that get to the heart of the project. So that's our plan for the day. So for the icebreaker today, I'm going to start out with a poll. So this poll, inspired by our what we learned from our feedback on the SurveyMonkey last time, and Dr. Katie will talk about that soon, is about Zoom etiquette. So I'm going to launch the poll. There are four questions in this poll, and I will give you time to answer the questions. So one is about best practice for your microphone. The second one is about asking questions. The third one is about signing in to the Zoom call. And the fourth one is, what should you put in your chat box? So are you able to see all those questions at one time, or do I need to scroll up and down? I think you scroll up and down on your computer as you're answering them. So jump right in and answer those questions in the poll.
Barbara, is this a single choice or multiple choice?
So each question, you choose one best answer.
Oh.
So four people out of 18 have voted. So we'll keep it up in another couple minutes. Vote on, there's four questions that you get to vote on. Okay, 10 people have voted. So I'll give you one more minute. 10 out of 18 have voted. Thirteen have voted. Okay, get your votes in now. Okay, 15 out of 19 have voted, so I will go ahead and end the poll. All right, so let's look at the results. Question number one. 100% of you said the best practice is to mute your microphone except when asking a question or making a comment. Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo!
Question number two. How can you ask a question during a Zoom call? So there were four choices. Nine of you, or 60%, said use the Zoom function to raise your hand. That is certainly a correct answer. Three of you, or 20%, said you could type a question into the chat box. That is also a correct answer. Nobody said you could physically raise your hand, but you could do that. So the correct answer was all of the above. So really, no one was wrong because you said that you can raise your hand and you can type a question into the chat box. But you can actually do all three of those if you want to ask a question, make a comment, just open up your mic. Okay, number three, when should you sign in to a Zoom call? Okay, the first response no one selected, which is signing in exactly at the time the call scheduled. 93% of you said you should sign in 5 to 10 minutes early in order to test your connection, make sure your microphone's working, make sure people can hear you. Now, one person, woohoo, said that you should sign in 5 to 10 minutes late so you wouldn't waste time. So really, we would encourage you to sign in 5 to 10 minutes early so you can get in there, make sure that you can sign into the chat box and be ready to roll. So, and then number four, the last question, what items do you need to put into your chat box? 27% of people said your name. That is true. But 73% of you said all of the above. That is true. We do, that's the only way we can have to track attendance. So if you put your name, your position, what facility you work in, if you're a coach, what facilities you coach. So all those things need to go into the chat box. So great job today with the poll. And thanks for getting us started with that poll. So I will now turn the time over to Dr. Katie to share those SurveyMonkey results from last week. And I will stop sharing.
Okay, let me share my screen. Okay, so, yes. So as you recall, last time after our poll, after our call on June 24th, I sent a SurveyMonkey survey and only 9 people responded. We are hoping we can increase the response rate after today's call. But let me go ahead and share with you what we learned from the poll and hopefully that will inspire you, motivate you to participate this time. First question, how much did you learn from today's call? 8 people out of 9 people say a great deal. But all 9 people, you know, ranked, I think they learned quite a bit. So this one comment I just highlighted in red, some key points I just want to read out. Increase the time slot for presentations or reduce the number of presentations per mini webinar. Okay, question number two. How satisfied are you with today's format, which included presentations followed by comments, feedback, Q&A, and a small didactic session on CMM? So you can see that 4 people said very satisfied, 5 said satisfied. So all 9 people ranked that they were satisfied with or very satisfied with that format. And the comment included network challenges, you know, some venue just doesn't have a stable internet connection. First presentation took a lot of time, so that just ate up most of the time, so the other presentation had to be rushed through. So they need more time on the presentations. So one person said, I feel the presenters are not doing justice to the content. There's a need to learn on presentation skills. The third question asks, please tell us the top one to three things we can do to improve the future calls. So a lot of suggestions here. So one person say we want more brain teasers. So you, as you can see that Barbara building some interaction, the polling questions. IHI course update. So another person said we need to pretest all the equipment at sites before the calls, so for good to test their connectivity. Also respect the lunch hours, which is 1 to 2 p.m. Another person said coaches should ensure that future presentations are shared before the call in time for the faculty members to review, so that to be able to provide good feedback. So more here, network challenges. As a second bullet, have participants practice their presentations, focusing on important items. Send agenda for the next meeting a week before and lay out the expectations. Make a calendar of the proposed course, you know, just send out the schedule so that, and the calendar invite, so it's on everyone's calendar, and send to the participants for planning purpose. And independent sessions is needed to train and sensitize participants on virtual meeting etiquette, such as muting your mics, logging earlier, and less presenters per session could help, two per session. So that's what we learned from the last survey. Over.
Katie, say what you said about an example of PDSA.
Sorry, say that again.
That we are taking the feedback and doing small tests of change, how this can be a mini PDSA.
Oh, okay. So this is one example of a small test of change, a PDSA cycle. So we collect the customer feedback, which are you, right? And then based on the feedback, we are going to improve in the next call. And Barbara is going to share with you a couple of examples that based on the feedback we collected from you last time, that we are doing some improvement based on your feedback. So Barbara, go ahead and share your example.
Okay, so I think there was a request to see the schedule ahead of time. I know that Fortunate has been sending those out, but I thought I would display it here. We are already, actually, this would be incorrect as of this morning. I learned that Budarito is not presenting today, but hopefully you all have gotten a copy and know when that your team would be presenting. So we're sharing that today. We also covered the etiquette question regarding Zoom etiquette. We covered that in our quiz today, and we had some more brain teasers. So we're definitely incorporating those things that you've shared with us. And we also will have an opportunity to present a case. That was one recommendation, that the consultants would show a case presentation example. So here is my question for you. I have another poll to launch. And I'm going to ask you if you would like to have the presentation example before the other presentations, or if you would like to have it after the other presentations. So you all can vote when you would like to have that case presentation shared. So far, 7 of 23 people have voted. So again, this would just be an example of presenting a case. I would pretend like I am actually the person on the team member at the site doing the presentation and would share with you.
So it's a demonstration, is that right?
Yes, it's a demonstration. That I would just be like, I was the team member, I am presenting, and how I would present given that I had only 10 minutes. So 14 people have voted, 60% of the people have voted. So I give you one more half a minute to get your vote in. 15 have voted. Okay, so it's been, we've had 1.5 minutes. All right, so we're going to end the poll. And here are the results. So 75% of the people said before the other presentations, 25% said after. So the majority rules. This is the Democratic Lark Society here. So in that case, if there are no other items to bring up at this time, I'll move on into the case presentation. I'm going to take a moment, stop here, and let anyone open their mics and make any comments that they would like to at this time. I see we have 33 comments in the chat. We have 25 people online. So that's great. Any comments or concerns? So my understanding is you have to count to 7 before you can give close a question, give people time. Okay, so given that, we will move on and we'll share. So remember, I am going to be a presenter. I'm going to be from Wakanda Clinic, and I'm going to share with you my learning session 2 presentation. It's 7:23. I'll get started. Well, good afternoon. My name is Barbara McKinney, and I'm from Wakanda Clinic, and today I'd like to share with you our LARC project. Since this is learning session 2, I won't share all of the tools. You know our team, we're here today, and you know about our facility. And I'll just give you a brief overview of the story of our project. Before, we had some definite issues that we were dealing with, and I'll sum it up by saying that we had very much an opportunity to change our process. We really focused on improving our result and patient management process, and that was the focus of our project. Our project summary. Since we all share the same aim statement, I'll just remind you that we started at 49% of our patients were not attending EAC within 30 days. And our goal was to get to 5% by the end of the project. And our intervention, as you wouldn't be surprised to know, we restructured our processes. We restructured our patient notification process and our process of dealing with results in our clinic. And I'll share with you the details of that as we go along. This was our elevator speech and our process mapping. And in our process mapping, we really identified a couple of areas that we really thought that we could focus on. Our result receiving at the clinic, there was a bit of chaos around that. We didn't have any designated process or procedures or people knowing what they were doing. And then the other step that we had issues about was notification of our high viral load clients. So So we identified those right up front, and we started forming our problem statement. And our problem statement was this: our clients with high viral load were not attending EAC in a timely fashion, and we defined that to be within 30 days. So we took that problem statement and tried to determine why is that a problem by asking our customers. We talked to 146 people over 30 days. We had good results, and I'll just share with you the summary of what we learned. We learned the patients were not coming to the clinic for their appointments because they felt like the time spent at the clinic was too long. And the patients identified the pharmacy as the service needing the most improvement. Our baseline metric, I've already shared with you, we started out at 48%. And this is our fishbone. We took that problem statement, the high viral load clients not attending EAC, and we tried to understand what was causing that. And we spent quite a bit of time doing the analysis. We determined there were some problems with the people understanding their knowledge base, our clinicians. There were other problems with not having standardized policies or procedures. But boy, our biggest problem that we identified was that the results were process problems. We had a process that was not standardized. It was chaotic. It was random. It happened differently every time. And so that's the area that we thought we should focus the most on, is our process. But we also knew that we had to deal with the education for the people, and we had to deal with putting policies and procedures in place once we had developed the best process that we could. So that's what prompted us to also do the five whys. We decided we wanted to dig a little bit deeper to try to see if we could get to the root cause of the problem. And one of the big problems we identified is that we just didn't have standardized ways of doing things. We didn't have guidelines, or they weren't followed. And of course, when we, with this information, then we went to improve things. We got to the improve phase. And we said, there are a lot of things that we identified, but what are we going to focus on in this project? And so we determined that we were going to focus on following up our patients and improving our processes. We, of course, did a 5S. And we're really happy to show that our audit results improved dramatically after our 5S. And we did some visual management as well to help make things clearer as to how processes were working in our clinic. So just want to remind you that these were the issues that we wanted to address when we did our PDSAs. So we did 4 PDSAs. The first one was, I'll call it the shortened TCA. That was the time to come back for your next appointment. And so that involved some sensitizing of our clinicians and putting in place a process where we have the people come back in 30 days after they had had their viral load sample drawn. And as you can see, we were able to show a significant drop in the number of missed appointments over the month of September. So we adopted that PDSA. The second one in the month of October, and I'll call this PDSA the patient-client notification process. And we were going to have our adherence nurse notify patients on the same day of receiving the high viral load results. And of course, we were looking at the missed appointments. So we looked at our results, and lo and behold, instead of improving, we were trying to, you know, go down, right? Instead of improving, the number of missed appointments actually increased in October. And we said, we think that the nurse calling patients is a good idea, but we cannot fully adopt this. We're going to adapt it. We need to call the clients using a script, and we need to do physical tracing. Those are things that we thought we should try for our next PDSA. So then we had PDSA number 4 in November, and I'll call this one the call script. We found that preparing a call script for our nurses was and our adherence counselors really helped us over the month of November. We did 2 things in November. So our Miss EAC appointments dropped from 11% to 4% using the 2 different things we did in November. We did 2 simultaneous PDSAs in November. We did the call script, and we also did the physical tracing because those were what we learned from our PDSAs in October. So we were able to do those, and they both worked simultaneously together. And so we adopted both of those. Those were our PDSAs, and we addressed many things that we had identified in our fishbone. We also had to do some other, maybe just do it kind of things that supported this improvement that we saw. We had to appoint a viral load focal person and train them and determine their competency. And then we also had to look at some SOPs to get the procedure done. So here's our old process and our new process. And as you can see, we changed our process of how we received results at the clinic. And we changed the notification process. And down here, we've looked at our new client notification process. So a lot of things went into changing our processes, making them standardized as we went forward. Here's our run chart. We kept it on the unit, and we were able to just track it using our run chart that we saw on the board, because we really wanted to see the changes ourselves every week as we were working with the project. And then here we put it into an Excel chart for you. And as you can see, we were able to reach our goal, which was 5%. We were able to reach our goal and sustain it throughout the remainder of the month. We had some challenges, and I'll just highlight one. Holding meetings on time. So we prepared a meeting rotation where we would meet. We had short meetings. We stood up. We focused on having the meetings at the same time, same place, same day. We polled everyone and found what worked better. And then our lessons learned. I'll just highlight a couple of those as well. The key to our success, we believe, was starting a communication and collaboration among our department. Using our social media to highlight our meetings was really helpful. The learning board, where we were tracking our results, kept us focused on our results. And we're excited to think that we can scale this to other departments. And by using the tools, we were able to actually implement the project. So with that, I will close our presentation and say thank you, or asante sana. Okay, so now I'm going to stop sharing. I'm going to ask you to tell me, highlight some things that you noticed. You can open your mic, you can type in the chat box, and you can highlight things you noticed that you liked. You can highlight things that you think could be improved. We can always improve. I'll share a story with you. One time I was giving a presentation, and someone came up with me afterward, and we had been critiquing each other, and she said, "Do you know you said, 75 times?" Now, that was really good feedback. And if I'm not careful, I will say during presentations. So it's always, you can always improve. You can always learn. So type something in the chat box, open up your microphone. What are things you noticed that you liked or things that you wish I would do differently? So I've got something from Lucia in the chat box. I like that you do not have to read everything in all the slides. Okay. BRIDHL Laboratory. I like that you focused on the key items. Lucia says the story was clear. I think that's so crucial. You are telling a story. It is what you actually did. It is your story. So share it. Be proud of it. Be excited about it. You showed that you were knowledgeable on presentation, owned it. Ooh. Thanks, Chianza. Familiar with the slides, presentation flowed well, story was interesting to follow, confidence, you were not reading, you focused in your presentation. Okay. Any I wishes? Again, always can learn. Familiar with slides, presentation flowed well, story interesting, okay. Manage time. And it helps when you're managing your time to have someone else who can keep you updated. You know, you have 5 minutes, you have 2 minutes. Okay. More of a presentation than just reading through the slides. Okay. So the slides, we created them to be, when we're done, kind of the full story. Everything would be in there. But when you're making a presentation, you're probably not going to have time to cover it all. Okay.
But I do want to make a point. It is important that you have all, you capture all the details in the slide set to tell your story well, because we can always go back and review your slide after your presentation. But during your presentation, given the number of minutes, very limited limits you have to pick your battle, right? But again, if you have all the details on in your PowerPoint document, we will be able to get all the necessary details we need after your presentation over.
That's true. And if a slide would trip you up, or you can put it in the appendixes at the bottom of your slide presentation, and you don't have to share it. And certainly, you know, the second learning session, you wouldn't need to go back and share stakeholder analysis, or you wouldn't need to go back and read your elevator speech, you know. So it depends on which, you know, focus you're presenting on, right? So the learning session two focus would really be on your analysis and your PDSAs, since that's what you've done new. Okay. Any other comments? I'll count to my seven. Okay. So at this time, I will say that our teams, who would be presenting first? Is Lucia presenting first for NMRL, or are our colleagues at Hatcliffe presenting first?
Fortune, if it's okay with you, I can go first.
Perfect, Lucia. Do you want to share your screen, or do you want me to share the slides?
I'm going to share my screen.
Perfect.
So, Lucia, before you begin, may I have a request?
Yes. Yes, I'm listening.
So I reviewed your slides yesterday. Thank you so much for sending ahead of time. So I had a time to really study it. I have a suggestion because it was not always clear to me when you talk about TAT, turnaround time, because it can mean a lot of things. Sometimes you did say that overall TAT, that's great, but not you didn't do that consistently. So during your presentation, could you make sure whenever you talk about TAT, you really define that for us? Thank you.
All right, thank you. I'll make an effort.
And Lucia, since we only have two teams presenting today, you can have 12 minutes today.
Thank you. Thanks, Barbara. I'm going to blow them all.
We're looking forward to it. Thanks so much for sharing. I'll turn the time over to you.
Thank you. I'm just trying to do my slideshow from the beginning. A bit of IT challenges. Can everyone see the screen that we are sharing?
Yes. We are looking at your Windows Explorer.
Okay. So, hello everyone. My name is Lucia Sisia. I'm from the Reference Laboratory. With me is Jana Kireni and Nora. I think you all know Nora.
So Lucia, you are not opening, we are not looking at your PowerPoint slide. We are looking at your Windows Explorer.
No, okay. Okay, I'm just trying to deal with the challenge. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's
stopping. Lucy, please stop sharing and then pick it again. Yeah, then try again and then pick the presentation. Please stop again. So when you say share, you have to select the presentation you want to share.
Yes, I have. There is a place which says your screen sharing is paused. That's what I'm trying to deal with.
Perhaps Barbara can show your slide and then you can just tell her to advance to the next one when you are ready. Maybe your connection is not that great.
It says now you started sharing screen. Okay. And then I open this one. Okay. Yeah, maybe Barbara, you can do it from that end. It may take us a bit of a while.
Okay, that's fine. If you just want to stop sharing.
Well, we have an unexpected hitch. Maybe I'm stopping sharing. Maybe you can do it for me.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. I would like to think everyone can see now. And I think it's not very easy to share after Barbara's well-able sharing. But here we go. This is the presentation from the Reference Laboratory. The story has been to reduce overall viral load, TAT, from collection of the sample to the date the facility receives our results. What I was going to share is we already put in another aim, which was to reduce the rejection rate from about 3% to less than 1%. So the one I was going to share has got that set in. But next slide, please. That's our team there. And appreciation to Liba Tavashidi, our lab coach, has been with us through the way. And the rest is NMRR team, thanks to them, but we can go to the next. The NMRR background is familiar with most of us now, we are doing all these tests, the infant diagnosis, TB, EID, I think it's something that's known by now. So we can move to the next slide, thank you. Oh, here we, this is the story of our project. Since before LAC and when LAC started, one of the biggest hitch that we have at NMRL is to do with TAT. So our TAT is almost always out, and NMR has been working hard to improve, particularly in much within our control is the intra-lab TAT, though we are very much concerned about the clinic to lab and lab to clinic TAT to make a total TAT. So this is what we intended to do. But another which has been of concern to us is the rejection, which we are looking at from about 3%, we want it to be below 1%. We are saying, yes, the 1% looks low, but generally NMR receives lots of samples. So you will find that 1% is actually a significant number of samples head count. So that's what our project has been about. Next slide, thank you. So the overarching goal has been to improve TAT for viral load results, as well as the specimen rejection rate. We intend to reduce our specimen rejection rate. So how we will know that there's been a change is when we see, particularly for rejection rates, that we are now having rejection rate that is below 1% for every viral load sample. And how we will see that we've improved in TAT is when our TAT has reduced. Already, Katie highlighted how we are looking at our TAT. So what we are doing is a laboratory, what we are presenting to you is we are expecting that TAT should be less than 30 days right round. In the laboratory, intra-laboratory, we are talking about 7 days. So we are saying all samples that are within TAT should be above 80%. So how we will see a success of our project is when we have a TAT that is 80% and above. I'm hoping that will be clear, Katie, but you can always follow through after the presentation. Next slide. So what our project is about, we are looking at TAT, reducing TAT. We want all samples to be within 80% and above. And we're saying we want the specimen rejection rate to be low, and that is below 1% for viral load. And as a result of these efforts, we'll be rejecting less and less samples, which is an improvement. And we want a right round, a speedy right round within 30 days, sample has been collected, has been processed, and the result is that. And that is the result of this effort. So I've already mentioned what we are aiming at, greater than 80% for TAT and less than 1% for the specimen rejection rate. Next slide. So here we had, it's just a presentation of our process. Thank you for the feedback, Katie. And on step one, you advised that it was important to flesh it out. And yes, indeed, this is a point where we have, where we think is the biggest problem in our process. The DBS collection at the clinic and the time it takes to NMRL through the courier is where our biggest challenge is when we talk about TAT. So yes, we have fleshed it out, as you'll probably see in the next slide. The rest is our sample processing, which has been since LS1. So I will not go to that. The first step here, we are now clear on what happens. DBS collection to NMRO has been involving all INSs, the hub scientists, laboratory staff, riders, and courier. And the duration, as you note, is already 34.4 days. So that means before a sample is in the laboratory at NMRO, it has already failed our set TAT. So we know that for TAT, we've done some process mapping as we have visited on other projects, and we're able to visit some hospitals that are outside Harare. And this is where the biggest challenge is. In fact, the biggest challenge is sample transportation. So it's taking so many days. And thank you. Can you come down, Katie, or is it Barbara sharing? I'm not sure. Please do up a bit. Okay. So this is our process step, but I would like to bring your focus onto 1, 2, 3 steps under forms and logs. We at NMRI will receive and sort. I'm now looking at rejection, where we really focus our efforts was something within our control. Maybe should I just highlight what we have observed, that TAT is definitely affected by the pre-laboratory processes. It has proven to be a national problem, way bigger than us, and the nation has, the government, MHCC, on IST has been working with many partners to improve that bit. And we have to ride on what the government is doing, because whilst we've observed what the problem is, we have been singularly unable to resolve that challenge, because that challenge is sitting straight on the simple transportation system. So we then begin to focus on the rejection rate, which we feel is directly in our control. So under forms and logs, you'll see a star there that talks about rejections and the opportunity for improvement. We put it in red. We realize that if we can improve our rejection by interfacing with our clinics, and we decided at that point that we can be making phone calls to our clinics to alert them on rejections, the reason for rejections, and what we can do to reduce on the rejection. So in our sample processing, that's one thing we picked, you'll see it down, that we worked on. I'm not sure how I'm doing in time, but please you can move to the next. And to the next. We're putting in red. It will not be part of my story for today, but it's part of what NMRI is trying to do to improve communication of high viral loads. But the story of today's project is focused on the rejection. So just keep that in mind, is what NMRI will do, but can you move to the next? And to the next. Oh, so here is a gap. We're saying overall TAT is what we want. We want less than 80% of more than 80% of samples to meet our TAT. Sorry, that's supposed to be a more. But in red is high rejection rate above a target of 1. That is what our problem has been. With our TAT, the problem is most of them are less than 80%. And we want them to be greater than 80%. So let's focus on stats. Next slide. Let's focus on rejections. So what is our metric? Looking at the rejections that we worked on, we are saying the proportion, we want to look at the proportion of samples rejected monthly. And based on, this is going to be based on an NMRI tool. We have a tool which we record every rejection for viral load, the site where it's coming from and the reason for rejection. We then make efforts to get the contacts. So we are getting our data from this rejection tool that we have. Next slide. Barbara, thank you. So data collection process, I've already mentioned, we are going to be getting information from the NMRI view rejection tool. And the plan is to collect data monthly. Thank you. Maybe we can move on to that slide. And the next, this was just a presentation of data, Excel data. Yes, in future, we're going to put it just under our run chart. Well, I can just mention something interesting to share with everyone, what our TAT has been like. So we are saying this 80% is the minimal that we want our samples to be with. If we receive 120 samples, we want 80% of those 120 to be having a TAT above the 30 days. But what has it been like at NMRI? You can see where we mentioned baseline data. This is what it's been like at NMRI. If you look into December as an example, we are way back to zero. This is a season preceding January to mid second week of March, where there was no testing at all in the laboratory. And when we then tested, the samples were already way beyond 30 days. So in as far as we are concerned, that was a fail. You can see an arrow though that shows where testing started. and we simply shot up, most of our samples began to be within the TAT. So this is the scenario, and the reasons determining this are many. If you have no reagents, no testing. Thank you. Thanks, Barbara. The next. So the next slide, we've shown you this before. This is our Pareto chart, which was showing, we were interested obviously in knowing what is the major reason for rejections. And there you are, most of it was coming from missing request forms and insufficient samples. And as you can see, the next slide, please. Oh, that's just baseline data for rejections. Maybe you can move to the next. We have the run chart following this one, which will show you what rejection rate has been like at NMRL. So the baseline data was from July to November. It showed that, okay, at times we were below one and we shot up, we're above two. Well, this is what the situation has been like. Then we decided we need to work our rejections to be below one, and oops, it actually shot up by March. We reached our highest. And on analyzing the reasons, we realized actually there was a problem with one particular clinic where that was in Marondera, Dombotombo, where the clinic was just sending insufficient samples. You could reject the whole batch. So what was our intervention? This is where we did the PDSA cycle one, where we decided for every rejection, we are going to be phoning the clinic and alerting them that we've rejected samples so-so and the reasons. Thank you, Katie. This is the fish diagram. The first one, oops.
So we're at 12 minutes. I'm sorry. You were talking about PDSA, so I was skipping to that, but.
Oh, that's okay. Just keep, that's fine with me. This presentation will be shared with everyone, guys. You can always then look at it. Well, this was the fishbone for TAT. We're not going to focus on it because we actually learned that our biggest problem was IST. So to work on IST was way beyond us. We decided to work on the next one.
Sorry, what is IST?
Integrated sample transportation for our sample. The country is having this program, integrated sample transportation for samples, not just viral load, and that's what needs to be corrected and is bigger than us. But again, the ministry is doing something about that. We can't single handedly do it. So we'll look at the next slide, which is the fishbone for the fishbone for the rejections. And we realize under processes, what we looked at is the interface challenge, where we have no connectivity, we had challenges with phones and all that. But we decided that was within us. At least we could do phoning to quickly real-time interface with the clinic for rejection. So that's what we looked at. Maybe the next one. You can go to our PDSA, Barbara. So there is our PDSA. And we're saying what we plan to do was to mobilize for a phone. And thank you, BRTI. So BRTI was able to supply us with a phone and they loaded it with lots of money. So what did we do as NMRL was we are now able to phone sites and communicate rejections, reasons, and the corrective action. And we observed that immediately or over time, we've reduced from 1.96 to 0.6. So we've adopted this action. It's now been incorporated into our routine. And this is with the faith that our faithful partner, BRHI, will continue to supply us with funds for making telephone calls. Thank you. So this PDSA was successful and we've adopted. Next. This took us by surprise. When we first did it, there are lots of things that we looked at and we thought they would just do it. But as we went on, we realized, no, they're not just doing it. A lot of things have to move to project. But the issue here was on communicating rejected samples, which we've done successfully. It's a project. We did a plan work and we've done it successfully. Next. So challenges, establishing baseline data for TAT without transmitter worksheets is a nightmare. We have tried to send out transmitter to implement it and we've had no response because our clients are not close to us. We rely on the courier and they receive and send back. For all that we sent back, none came back. So no, just two came back. So we realized transmitter sheet, bearer chair, I suppose is going to help out. I'm not sure how, but this would have been a challenge to be resolved. And then we could not train, we could not implement because of the COVID-19 travel restriction bans. It was difficult to travel to sites to follow up and to map some of our sites as we desired. Maybe the next one. This is the lessons learned. Following science to communicate rejections and corrective actions is actually effective. We realized that if we improve interfacing between the laboratory and the clinics, there'll be lots of improvement. We realized sample transportation coordination is key to resolve the clinic to lab and lab to clinic TATs. Sample transportation is huge. We need that coordination. And we believe CLI is a good fit into NMR systems as we seek to improve and address issues that are key to maintaining our ISO 151A accreditation. And teamwork is crucial. Over the times, we've realized, okay, as NMRL, I think when we have an improvement project, you want to involve absolutely everyone because we don't know when the pandemic is coming and when the focus of change comes. And that's what we've experienced exactly. Some members of our CLI teams, of our lab project, have been reassigned to COVID work, and it is what it is. Thank you everyone for listening. I love your feedback, and we will endeavor to answer all you ask honestly and truthfully. Thank you very much.
Okay, so can we give some virtual applause to Lucia and her team for making the presentation? So that took us about 17 minutes, but we will give 10 minutes. We're starting at 8:03. We'll give 10 minutes for feedback. So type into the chat box, raise your hand virtually, raise your hand physically. We will direct the questions to Lucia and their team. Katie has a question. Katie, go for it. Slide number 13. Katie, are you there?
Sorry, I was muted. So Lucia, my question is that you have multiple targets mentioned in your slide. So it's not very clear to me which TAT you are talking about. At one point you mentioned 7 days. Another one you mentioned 30 days, but slide number 13, you mentioned 14 days. So I'm just very confused about your target.
Hi, Katie. Yes, you are right. I was hoping you wouldn't observe that. But yes, I hear your question. So I will highlight.
Next one, yes.
I hear you. What we tried to do is to look at the TAT between sample collection and reception to NMRL within lab TAT. There's a mix-up because as part of the laboratory QMS for NMRL, we work with 14 days within lab, intra-lab TAT. But when we come to our lab project as improvement, we want to work 7 days so that our intra-lab TAT is just 7 days, and then the pre-analytical and post become 7 from 30 divided by 2 or something like that. That's what we're looking at. So when we come to lab, we want to talk about 7 days. That's what we are aiming. Unfortunately, our QMS, our own QMS, is still looking at 14 intra. So I think that's where my mix-up came through. I hope I'm clear.
So just for everybody, just make sure you are consistent and define what you mean. So maybe you can correct your slides and send a revised version so we can have a record. Thank you.
Definitely. We are going to, for everyone's sake in luck, please note that we are actually working downwards to 7. We want to move from 14 as an indicator to 7 intralab. Thank you.
That's great. However, I do, as you know, that I do want to point out that your average day for your pre-analytical is 34 days, so, and your overall TAT target is 30 days. So minus 7. So you need to drop 34 days to 23 days for your pre-analytical, and that is very hard. And I hope you will look into that very soon.
Yes, apparently we get these targets from the ministry. This is what the ministry is pushing, it should be. So when ministry puts these strategies, they already put ways to achieve it. The ministry has been big on the sample transportation, which is widely known to be our challenge. And they'll say to us, this is what we're working on and it's going to work. But as you go, you realize we have another challenge coming. So from the ministry, the target is certainly 30, but we have not as yet been able to achieve it.
Hi, Kathy, this is Nora. And just to add, at the beginning of the CLI project, we once had a discussion where NMRIL was proposing to have two different TATs, one for plasma samples and one for DBA samples, precisely because of this sample transportation challenge. So for sites that are on the plasma network, samples pretty much get to the testing lab on the day of collection. And then you have other sites that are on the DBS network, and the samples will get to the testing lab almost a month after collection. So I guess it's something that we have to continue discussing as I think as a team here in Zim, to see what actually works. Because like you're saying, if the samples are taking 24 days to get to the lab, then you have an overall TAT of 30 days. It's almost impossible to meet it.
I also want to point out in your earlier slide, you talk about some of the clinic never received the results. So that is even a more serious issue that talks into the linkage between the clinic and the testing lab. And it, if you really dig deeper there, it may also help you solve your long pre-analytical TAT problem. But it's really worth looking into why clinics are not getting their results back, even if you meet your TAT, but are they still getting their results? You know, so that's a separate issue, but very important issue. Thank you.
There's a couple of comments in the chat box. One from Dr. Junior. Thank you for bringing up the issue regarding use of transmittal form. They are going to engage on that. And then Dr. Cabo, do you want to open up and ask your question to Lucy?
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Lucy, for the presentation. I wanted to find out a bit more around, I'm very familiar with how things work at NMRL. Do you now have trained focal points to do state stock status management so they can flag when the stock of reagents is beyond the critical level so we can make noise, especially from the programming side?
Hi, Dr. Cabo. So we do have a stores person who looks after our stocks, but the challenge has not been that NMRIL is not ordering from the national stores. The challenge is NMRIL does order, but there is nothing at the central stores. Like the current situation where we are in, we have been raising flags for low stock since March. The central stores does not have anything, and they are waiting for delivery from Abbott. And now, because of the transportation issues due to COVID, we actually don't know when those are going to be received. So the issue is restocking the central stores, and also, I think, as a program to ensure that there is a large enough budget to buy reagents so that we have buffer stock at NATFARM. So this is not just peculiar to NMRL, it's all the labs that are actually using that the same machine as you. So it's a national problem.
Okay, Dr. Kappas, understood. Thank you, Nora. Olivia says, great presentation. Other comments or questions?
Hi, Barbara, it's Liberty.
Hi, Liberty, go for it.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at the pre-analytic stage in terms of the turnaround time. I think that's where we need the most emphasis. So I'm looking at going forwards with this project, the way forward. Because as long as, for example, we are not able to demonstrate in terms of the breakdown in, for the turnaround time use of using transmitter sheets, for example, I think we might have challenges going forwards trying to solve the overall turnaround time issues. So I'm just trying to see how best we are going to be going with this project. Are we going to concentrate on sample rejections alone, or we really have to then look into other ways of dealing with the pre-analytic stage for turnaround time? Because like they were saying, the movements have been very limited, so there's not really much they can address yet. It's the most critical stage of the turnaround time issues. So I'm just trying to see how we are going to go going forwards with that. Thanks.
Well, I think we can definitely talk offline about that. I mean, many times we say, you know, focus on the things that you have control of, but definitely take data and advocacy and focus on the things that maybe are not in your control, but you, by being in a collaborative, you have a greater voice. And hopefully, you know, we'll be able to affect some change. Now, I know, understand that it's in COVID, but I think this data that you're collecting is very important for that pre-analytic piece. So I think with Dr. Cabo, and it sounds like Dr. Junior, there's some opportunities there that by being in this collaborative, we could work together using this data and advocate to move things along in that pre-analytic phase. So I say, let's keep working on the part you can control and keep advocating. So perhaps we can have an offline, at least an email discussion between key stakeholders and understand how we can use this data and hopefully use our voice to get to a place that we can make some improvement. Does that work?
Okay, thanks.
Okay. All right. So now we have, we have wrapped up our time on the discussion around that case. If there are other questions or concerns, I'm sure that you can send those to Lucia, Nora, and their team, and I'll know they'll be very responsive in Liberty as well as their coach. So we do have one action item we'll take offline, is this pre-analytic phase, which if we could move that, it seems like we could affect a lot of change. So now we'll turn the time over to our team from Hatcliffe. And I can just go ahead and share your presentation now.
Hello, everyone. My name is Olivia. I'm going to present on behalf of Headcliff QI team.
Welcome, Olivia. The floor is all yours.
Thank you.
It's 8:15, 8:16, and we'll give you 12 minutes.
Okay, I'll try to stick to the time.
So are you able to see your slides on my screen?
Yes, you can move to the next slide.
Great.
Okay, maybe I can start by giving you a brief background about Headcliff. Go back to the slide again. Previous slide, please. Yes, this one. Maybe network. Let me use another machine. Thank you. This is the.
Sorry, Olivia. So if you are not moving your slides, there is a bit of delay when somebody changes it. It takes a few seconds before you can see it on your end.
Okay.
So for what you mean? So just be patient, just tell it to be on slide 2 until you see it on your end. There's a bit of lag between her changing and you seeing it.
Okay, thank you.
I think we also may need to have, if another computer is on in the same room where Olivia is, we might need to make sure that one is muted.
Okay.
Getting a bit of an echo. Okay, want to try again, Olivia? Which slide would you like me to be on? The first one, the second one, or the third one?
Olivia, you are muted. Please turn on your mic.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Wonderful. Okay.
Thank you. Brief background about Headcliff Clinic. Our active clients stands at 3,700. And to date, we have 2,880 with valid viral load results, which are filed in their books. And viral load collection per month, it's plus or minus 322. Then our viral load coverage stands at 78%. Viral load suppression is at 80%. Maybe move to the next slide. Okay, our project summary. We had three goals which we were focusing on. The first one is to have 95% of HIV positive clients to have a valid viral load result, which are recorded and filed in their green books. Then the other goal was to have 95% of our HIV clients with high viral load results being managed according to the national guidelines. And we are also focusing on having 95% of our HIV clients with high viral load results retention. We are now focusing on retention, making sure they are coming back for their EACs. Then on how we will know if a change is an improvement. For the first goal, we are going to make sure that there is an improvement when we increase proportion of viral load test results recorded in the Green Book from 42% to 95% by 30 September 2020, of which you have already achieved the 95%. Then on the second goal, we are going to make sure by increasing a proportion of high viral load patients managed according to guidelines from 42% to 95%. Then on the last one, which is retention, we are going to decrease the proportion of high viral load patients who miss EIC's appointments from 36% the current to 5% by September 2020. Then what change will we make to make sure that the improvement is achieved? For the first one, for clients who are due for viral load, their dates are being synchronized. The pill pickup date and the viral load date are going to be synchronized so that when a patient is coming for a drug pickup on the same day, VL is done. Then documenting of viral load and filing viral load results is being done within 2 days of receiving the results. And if the results are too many, then we team up as the OI team and make sure that the results are filed and recorded. Also, we have appointed someone who is responsible for the receiving and filing of results. Not to say that it only stands for the person, but when the person is not available, the next person is there to make sure that the results are received, recorded, and filed. We just made sure that there's someone who is responsible in making follow-ups and making sure that the results are put in correct place. Then we also conduct bleeds probably every Friday. If we have a backlog of results which need to be filed, we do it on Friday as a team and make sure that the results are recorded and filed. Then on the second goal we have appointed a focal person, the one who is responsible for filing of results, is the same person who is responsible for receiving the results, separating high viral load, making sure that the patients with high viral load are called as soon as possible. Then we have a standard 3 AEC sessions, which are 4 weeks apart for clients with high viral load. And we have improvised our own high viral load EAC register, which we record the sessions. Every EAC session, client is given 1 month supply so that we make sure that when the supply is synchronized with the next EAC. So we reduce visits. We wouldn't want a situation whereby a client is coming to the clinic on the 15th to pick his medication, then he's back again on the 25th. For EAC, so we synchronized the dates so that at least we reduce the visits for our clients. Also, we've separated the viral load.
Olivia, you have about 7 minutes left.
Oh, okay. We have separated our high viral load booklets. We are now filing them according to their EAC cohorts, EAC 1, EAC 2, EAC 3, for easy management. And the last one, we use appointment system to schedule our clients to book them, and so that they come according to the appointments. When the client comes for EAC 1, the client is given a review date, which is the same as the second EAC date. When the client misses an appointment, follow-up is done at the following day. And each time the client comes, emphasis is put on the importance of keeping the appointment dates. Maybe move to the next slide. Okay, this is our problem statement. Our problem statement is poor documentation results in poor patient management, which results in loss of lives. Next slide. Okay, measure is to increase proportion of high viral load patients cared for according to national guidelines from 42% to 95% by 30 September 2020. Our numerator will be number of clients with high viral load.
Just keep moving.
Oh, it's okay. So this is our run chart. The run chart is for retention of clients with high viral load. Retention, move to the next slide. Okay, this is our fishbone. Our problem statement, as I said, poor management of high viral load clients. On materials, we have too many registers and duplication of work. On equipment, sometimes people will be using their personal cell phones to make follow-ups on our clients and they end up calling on odd hours, returning the missed calls, on the process where lack of knowledge on how to handle high viral load results. This was an issue until we then sit down as a team and educate everyone. Because at first people were just thinking that it's an issue of the QI team, not of the facility as a whole. But through education, now everyone understands that it's not about QI team, but it's about us as a facility. Lack of knowledge on how to complete high viral load register. Some people would say today that the focal person is not around, so I don't know how to complete the register, but we have educated our team and now everyone is aware on how to do these things. Policy and procedures, we wish we could have SOPs which are stuck on all rooms so that everyone is aware on how to handle high viral load results, whether the focal person is there or is not there. Then on people, we have staff shortages, we have staff incapacitation, demotivated staff, the environment, our catchment area is too wide and it includes Domboshawa, which is peri-urban. Sometimes it makes it difficult for us to make follow-ups. Next slide. Okay, this is our PDSA cycle. The first one is from January, which was focusing on management of clients with high viral load. Our goal was to make sure that we retain our clients to attend their EACs. Then plan to appoint focal person for viral load who give us weekly updates and filing of high viral load care booklets separately on due. After receiving result, the focal person separates the high viral load booklets and phone calls are made immediately. We also make follow-ups to our clients who miss their appointments by making phone calls or sending text messages. The improvement was noted in monitoring clients with high viral load from 36% to 25%. Next slide. Okay, this is our PDSA cycle number 2, which focuses on management of clients with high viral load from March 2020 to date. Focus being on improve viral load coverage to 95%, improve retention of clients with high viral load. We are not moving away from retention. We have seen that retention has been our major challenge, retaining the patients with high viral load to the facility. Follow-ups on clients who miss their appointments as soon as possible, a day after the appointment date, synchronized drug pickup date with EAC date, filing of high viral load care booklets according to the EAC cohorts, emphasis on the importance of keeping the appointment dates. We want people who are self-motivated, people who know the importance of keeping dates so that they come to the clinic on their own. Improvement noted in monitoring our clients with high viral load from 25% to 15%. Next slide. Control PDSA 1 at a time to see where the improvement was due to a particular change. Appointment of viral load person, then participation of all cadres in the OI clinic. Like I said, people used to think that it was an issue of the QI team, but now everyone is involved in the system because we've educated each other that it's all about patient management, not about the QI team. Then we've been having meetings in 2 weeks and weekly WhatsApp update on our WhatsApp group and discuss challenges and improvements of the project. Utilization of the appointment system and pulling of out of green books a day before clients comes for their appointments. Then we synchronizing drug pickup dates with EAC dates. Next slide. Okay, results, outcomes, and lessons learned. Measurable results and lessons learned based on current improvement efforts. Filing of high viral load patients care booklets separately according to EAC codes makes tracking very easy. High viral load filing blitz helped us to clear our backlog. Appointments of focal person helped us in managing EAC and filing of high viral load results. Then interventions to implement going forward, sending SMSs in in reminding our clients of their EAC appointments a day before. We've been making a follow-up a day after, but we now want to move to sending an essay, a reminder a day before. We are going to continue synchronizing the pill pickup dates together with the EAC dates, continuously educating our clients about the importance of keeping appointment dates. Next slide. Okay. Our question maybe will be, are we able to get the required resources such as stickers, filing boxes, etc.? Now that we are separating the books when we are filing, it means we need more filing space and we need more filing boxes to separate the books. We are able, are we able to get a clinic phone so that, which is only meant for follow-ups, so that we don't use our personal cell phones to make follow-ups, which is just meant for viral load and EAC reminders. Are we allowed to have a day, maybe once a month, where we call those with high viral load so that they come maybe and try and educate others, kind of motivating others on how? Okay, let me take it again. If we are allowed to have a day, maybe once a month, whereby we call those with high viral load so that they meet with those who once had high viral load results and now had a suppressed viral load to come maybe and share on how they did it, and if it gives hope to those with high viral load, if they see others with who once had high viral load and now had a suppressed viral load, it gives them hope that it can be done and it's possible. Next, if not the last slide. Okay, thank you very much for your time.
All right, let's give some support to Olivia. Thank you, Olivia, for that presentation. We appreciate that. Some virtual support there. Okay, I will open it up. We have 10 minutes to get any feedback, comments, questions to Olivia and team. And while you all are thinking of what you want to ask, I just wanted to point out on this one, Olivia, that we might have mixed the different aims, because this is referring to aim 2, and this is your 25 to 15% is your data, but then the the act talks about viral load coverage and 95%. So maybe there's a bit of mixing between the aim 2 and aim 3, which talks about viral load coverage. So I'll just point that out and open it up to others to ask any questions.
Okay, thank you. Look at that.
Okay, questions or comments for Olivia and the Hatcliffe team? I'm looking in the chat box. Dr. Cabot had to step out.
So I have a question, if I may.
Olivia, are you open for questions?
Yes.
Okay, great.
So this is Katie. Olivia, thanks for your presentation. My question is, a slide where you showed your run chart for your missed appointment. I'm looking at your raw data. Your denominator in July is 9, August 17, 25. So, just want to make sure, is that the total population What is your denominator? Is that the number of EAC appointments made for that month? If the answer is yes, then my question is that given your background slide, you have average of 300 viral samples and your suppression rate is 80%. So 20% is high viral low. So 20% out of 300 is 60 high viral low, right? So So I'm looking at your denominator. Those numbers seem to be low for me. Is that the total number of EAC appointments you have per month?
Yes, these are the total number of EAC appointments. What happens is sometimes we have, say we have 30 people with high viral load and we call them. Suppose we get hold of 20, then our denominator is 20, not 30. Because our denominator is the number of people whom we manage to conduct. I don't know if it,
the well, answer they, is I thought that's your numerator then.
Our numerator then becomes the number of people who attended the EAC sessions.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Other questions for Olivia?
Thank you.
Okay, Olivia. So I do have a couple of polls. And since we just finished with Hatcliffe, I want you all to tell me how much did you learn from this presentation that will be useful in improving in your own facility? So we're not ranking the presentation or the slides. We're ranking, was this helpful? Will you be able to use this information? So this it's anonymous. All the voting today is anonymous. So we'd really appreciate you sharing how much you learned from this presentation.
And you mean just Hatcliffe? Not NMRL.
This is Hatcliffe, yeah. Just one presentation now. I have another one for NMRL, so. Because that's really the goal. We are learning from each other. That's what a collaborative is about, peer-to-peer learning. So as those of you who haven't presented yet, think about how you're presenting something that's worked well for you that the other team might try. Really, we're focusing on presenting solutions. We might call them changes. We might call them PDSAs. But we're focusing on presenting solutions to common problems. So how helpful are these presentations in helping you, our team? So we've got 14 out of 25 people who have voted. We'll give another 10 seconds. We've got 14 out of 56% of the people have voted. Okay, 68% have voted. Right, so we're going to end the poll. And I'll share the results with you. And so everyone has learned something that voted. And 39% said very helpful, 17% helpful, and 44% somewhat helpful. So thank you very much for sharing. And again, as you move forward as teams and you're sharing, what can you share that's going to help your other teams address common problems? That's what we're really here about, sharing best practices that we've been able to use to reach our goals. And then I have another poll for you. Dip deep back into your memory from a few minutes ago for NMRL. Okay. And the same question, how much did you learn from this presentation about solutions, about how to use the tools, about how to approach a problem, about how to again, using the tools to help you get to your solution, because that's also one of our important goals. All right, 54% of the people have voted. All right, 75% have voted. 79% have voted. Okay, awesome. So let's share these results. So everyone has learned something. 21% of the people said very much, 4 helpful, 3 somewhat helpful, 32% somewhat helpful. And one person said maybe not as helpful, but everyone has learned something. So we appreciate that, and we'll stop that poll. And then I really have one last poll for an overall evaluation. But before I launch it, I want to remind you that we do listen. And you are going to get, as soon as this meeting is over today, you will get a SurveyMonkey.
On that note, can I just mention that Fortunate is on standby. She is ready to send a WhatsApp message to you all, actually in the next few seconds. So we do want you to take that survey immediately after the call. So please do that. And also, if there are some people with you at your side that are participating today, but if they do not get that WhatsApp message, please forward that to your colleagues so they can take the survey as well. We do want to increase the number of people who take the survey. So Fortunate, you can go ahead and send that out. And Barbara, go ahead. Okay, thank you.
So I'm going to launch this poll, and this just gives us some quick and fast information about how you felt about today's entire session, how you felt about the overall learning and the content of our webinars, because these are for you. So we appreciate the quick feedback, and then the SurveyMonkey, when it comes, gives you a chance to do some comments, and those are very helpful to us. So from the comments that we received from you, we've put in more polling. We've looked at sharing a presentation. We've looked at giving you the schedule in advance. So there have been several things that we have responded to. We want to continue to do that because we want this to be a valuable use of your time. So 47% of the people have voted. 56% have voted. Again, this just gives us a quick idea about, and then once you get the SurveyMonkey, you'll be able to tell us specifically, what do you want more of? What do you want less of? What was helpful? Because we can do rapid PDSAs. We're changing these every week based on your feedback. All right, so 69% of the people have voted. We'll end our poll. We'll share our results. Again, 13% very satisfied, 69% satisfied, and 3% kind of in the middle. I mean, 19% kind of in the middle there. So it gives us an idea of the overall session that we've had.
So for those people who voted 3, I do want to hear from you in the SurveyMonkey survey how we can improve our sessions. Please make sure you write your comment and as specific as possible so we know where we need to improve. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to ask Fortunate to close us out. Are there any comments that you need to share with us, Fortunate, or any instructions, guidance, please come on now. Any words from our sponsors, BRTI?
Okay. I've just sent the link for the SurveyMonkey now.
So if people can complete it and send, especially those who were in the call today, because it's all about today's call. But otherwise, I think I don't have much to say except to thank everyone who joined in on today's session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your evening, and thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you, Barbara. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chetta.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for our presenters. They deserve candy.
Wonderful presentation.
Candy to Lucia and Olivia.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Bye, all. Great job today. Thanks.